Higher Human Performance, Episode 264. Welcome inside the L Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance, the podcast. Find the show notes for today's episode over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com. This is episode 264, Unforgettable, the Value of Sequential Marketing. When you go over to the website, you will see a photograph of a rather young Nat King Cole. He's the one who sang about it. You know that famous song, Unforgettable? You probably remember the one that he did with his daughter. You know, they did this, I don't know, they used this technology so it looked like they were singing together, even though he had long since passed on. He sang about it. But I'm going to argue that you have to practice it every day in your organization. The art of being unforgettable. Hey, today's episode is brought to you, as all the episodes are, by my company, Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is a boutique executive coaching and consulting company. All kinds of ways that you can find out who and what I am. Just click the About button over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com, who I work with, the Hire Me tab. All those things will tell you a lot more about me. Hey, let's get right in. People stop buying from you for the following reasons. A, they had a poor experience the last time they bought something from you, so they don't come back. B, they don't need your stuff. They don't need your products. They don't need your services anymore. C, they moved. D, they shop price and they've gone to a new lower price provider. E, they died. F, they forgot about you. They forgot all about you. And it's that last one. It's the last one. It's F, they forgot about you, that I want to talk about. How can they forget about us? We've been in business since 1938. Business owner once said that to me. Store was located in a market of about 200,000 people, and the owner assumed that because they'd been around for so long, everybody knew all about his business. I mean, come on, his store had been a fixture in the market for over 70 years at the time. He was wrongfully concluding, though, that people couldn't forget about him. A casual meeting with the staff revealed that frequent comments were made by shoppers. You guys still here? Man, my parents used to shop here. We didn't know you guys were still around. And in these cases, another generation of shoppers had come on the scene who just simply, they didn't know about this store. Markets, like businesses, are alive. They're organic. They're fluid, always moving, always changing. We cannot assume that our business is going to thrive today just because it's been around for 70 years. Like people. Businesses and organizations, by the way, too. Doesn't have to be a business, doesn't have to be a for-profit enterprise. Organizations can grow old and they can die. Now, some of them, they just die a natural death, right? It's just time. But some die due to neglect and abuse. Some others, well, they're murdered. They're murdered by the competition. It's the job of the business owner to protect the business, to maintain the health of the company. And part of that job is making sure the market doesn't forget about the business. And one way that we can do this is by using sequential communication. Now, sequential just simply means regular, consistent, one after another, consistently. That's what sequential means. That's what I mean by it in today's podcast. Communication, well, okay, that can take on a lot of different forms. It could be traditional advertising. Maybe you use newspaper advertising or radio or TV spots. Maybe you use direct mail. But it could be other communications that you may not think of very often. I mean, for instance, it could be the way that you answer phones. It could be the way that your employees greet shoppers. It could be all of the various scripts that might exist in your organization to convey information to your prospects, to the shoppers, customers, clients, whatever you want to call these people that you serve. Communication includes how your business cards look and the message they convey. It includes the message or the music that's used when you put callers on hold. It includes the messages that might appear on your sales invoices or your letterhead. It's the cleanliness and the order in your business. That conveys an important message to people as well. I mean, frankly, every interaction, every touch point with prospects, with shoppers, with customers, it just screams a message about your business. Now, some organizations, they make the mistake of failing to have a congruent message. And you've experienced this. We've all experienced it. I mean, they'll say one thing, but they do something else. I mean, they may say they're the lowest prices, but we go in and we shop and we find out, no, they're not. It's just a slogan. They may say they're fast, but when we go to make a purchase, their execution is ridiculously slow. So we've got to make sure that our business, we've got to make sure that our organization is making good on whatever promises we're making with our marketing efforts. Because talk's cheap. Our actions have to step in with whatever our marketing promises. Consistency. Consistency is a key component in the battle against being forgotten. Part of the challenge of consistency, I think, is finding something that works. Businesses, we tend to chase the quick fix. In fact, I find that every organization tends to chase a quick fix. An owner of a business, he may try a marketing strategy, let's say a direct mail campaign, and it fails. Well, immediately he's looking for a different strategy. But it could be, it just could be that it wasn't the strategy that was failing. The offer just wasn't compelling enough. It's that classic case of blaming the messenger for the message. Direct mail, by the way, is still an effective marketing tool. I know people have long since moved on in a lot of cases, but listen, the very best lists in the world, they can't convert if the offer is poor. So I'm not going to castigate direct mail if it's a direct mail campaign that didn't work. I'm reminded of so many things as I am wont to do. I'm in the age bracket where financial services, they come pretty fast and furious. And the financial advice giving business is steeped in what people in that genre call plate lickers. That is, they give you these little postcards, right? And they offer you a free meal at some local steakhouse because they want to help you with your retirement package and your investments and whatnot. And these are typically going to be geared toward people that are middle-aged, you know, in their 50s and maybe even older. And they just come and they just keep coming. And they're all doing the same thing. They're all making the exact same offer, a free steak dinner. And you know what it's going to be. We're going to buy this steak dinner and then we're going to blitz you with sales propaganda for an hour or two and make you sit there and endure this. And you know, what a beatdown. Is it direct mail? They're all doing direct mail. Now, if those things aren't converting, and I suspect that they are converting because they continue to do it, and it's just a numbers game. But how unique would it be if somebody just decided that their message was going to be different? So that's what I mean when we take a look at direct mail and being an effective tool. And it still is, by the way. There's still a lot of people who are making a lot of money using direct mail. But we need to think about the offer as well. That's not terribly unique, by the way. Doing what everybody else is doing is very forgettable. But let's talk about sequential communication. As I'm using it here, it's an old concept. There's nothing new about this. It just simply means that we don't just communicate with our prospects once and then hope for the best. It means that we plan a series. We plan a sequence of communication that's all designed to generate business. It's all designed to accomplish something. The objective for the business, for the selling enterprise, the for-profit organization, is to generate buying customers. Now, it may be different for you. There are all kinds of nonprofits, and they are trying to get donors. There are other organizations that are trying to influence. They may be trying to influence voters. They may be trying to influence social causes. All kinds of communication designed to do something specific. As old as this idea is, I am finding more and more business owners who just seem to have never heard of it, which is why it kind of prompts today's show. But trust me when I tell you, this is not an original idea. I make no claims on it. My career goes back to the early 70s, but it seems that I've known this strategy forever. I'd love to give attribution to whoever taught it to me, but I can't remember that far back. We do have some advanced tools today that can help us execute it better, but the idea, the basic idea, is relatively unchanged. And I'm going to give you the recipe. It's not very complicated. Number one, contact your list, your group of people, your population, your market. Contact them with an offer. Now, this offer can be made by way of direct mail. It could be made by email. It could be made by any variety of ways. But it should be made directly to the prospect, though. Now, this is different than advertising. It could include advertising, but the way I'm using it today, it's more targeted than that. Now, it could be targeted in that your advertising is targeted, but, you know, what we used to call, you know, run of the paper, ROP, newspaper advertising, where, okay, it's going to go to every zip code, every neighborhood, the whole known world is going to know about it. That ain't targeted. So when I say targeted, if your target market is everybody in the market, well, that's fool's gold. But if there's some specific niche group, and they've got some niche publication, and you put an ad in that, that's admittedly more targeted. Now, it's not direct, and it's not personal. So for my purposes today, I'm talking about making contact to the prospect directly. And make the offer as compelling as possible. Spend some time on the offer so that it's unique, and it's not some Me Too campaign like the steak dinner for a financial services guy. Build in a way to track the response because you need to know who responds and who doesn't. The second part of the recipe is to plan a second communication only to the people who failed to respond to the first offer. Now, this is where some business owners, they just fail to see the logic of sequential communication. A lot of them just see it as wasted effort. No, listen, it really makes sense if you stop and think about how people behave. Have you ever asked somebody for something or invited somebody to something and they were non-responsive? I mean, you didn't get a yes, you didn't get a no. Well, of course, we've all had that happen to us. Sometimes they don't want to do whatever we're asking. But there are other times that they're doing what we all do. They're just neglectful. They're just forgetful. They're just procrastinating. They just haven't got off the fence yet. I mean, why do you suppose that your dentist sends you a postcard reminding you of an appointment that you made months ago to have your teeth cleaned? Why do you suppose that same dentist will have somebody call you the day before? I mean, man alive, they've already sent me a postcard. And that phone call following the postcard is sequential communication. It's what brings you back to the same dentist time and time again. They're continuing to make contact and keeping you in the fold of their business. They are not allowing you to forget them. You are their customer, and the sequential communication is a crucial part of their strategy to protect their most prized asset, you. You who make up their customer base. That's exactly what you want to do for your business. That's exactly what you want to do for your organization. Now, some people, they'll neglect your first offer. In fact, maybe most people will neglect your first offer. regardless of the offer. They'll just fail to act. Maybe they'll think of accepting your offer when they first see it, but life's going to take over and pretty soon they're going to forget about it. Timing's everything, right? Sometimes our offer, it just arrives at the wrong time. You can't catch everybody at the right time. This past week, the latter part of the week, my wife's car, her battery died. Now, we knew it was on its last legs, but right, we're pushing the envelope on the thing. And she gets out, she's picking up some of the grandkids at school, and it dies. I'm at the gym, so I drive over and hook up the jumper cables and jump the car off. Okay, I'm looking for a battery at that point. Timing, well, who could predict it? The car had started the day before just fine. Now, we knew that time was coming where it wouldn't, but, you know, come on, I'm not going to shop until I have to. Well, now all of a sudden I'm on my phone and I'm looking. That's how it is with these things. You could no more predict when I was going to need a battery than I could. But now I'm looking. Now, when you send your follow-up communication, you are reminding people that you're still standing at the ready to serve them. You are refusing to let them forget about you. And I'm not talking, by the way, about two different offers. This is the same offer. In fact, it's important that your second communication remind the prospect that you have offered this to them before. And I would suggest that you keep the second communication within 2 weeks of the first one. Now, I've heard of a few businesses that have successfully followed up with a reminder communication beyond 2 weeks, but personally, I think that's dangerous. Because when 2 weeks have passed, the prospect is going to see it as a brand new offer instead of a reminder of an earlier offer. And you lose the value of sequential communication when you wait too long. The objective here is to make the communication a reminder, not a completely new offer. And that's important. So we give our prospects a reason for the reminder. And you have to answer the why question for the prospect. So when we get the phone call from our dentist after we've already been sent the postcard, we know exactly why they're calling us. So you need to apply that same logic in your sequential communication. We need to help our prospects see the clear logic of this second communication. If your dentist called and you didn't have any clue why they were calling, it wouldn't work. You'd be stuck with, I don't understand why you're calling me. But you do understand why they're calling, because you've got an appointment to have your teeth cleaned and they want you to show up. Now, let me interject here that I know businesses who have successfully used a series of communications, either direct mail, email, to increase their conversions. And instead of sending one follow-up message, they send more. In some cases, they send quite a few more. One of the most discussed topics in marketing is how much communication is too much. It has been long debated, and it'll be long debated even after I'm gone. You'll have to judge that for yourself. Now, I do have some thoughts, as you would imagine I would. And my thought is, if your offer is compelling enough, then it's hard to overdo it. If your best friend was neglecting to take advantage of some offer that you thought was really valuable, one that they really needed, one that they absolutely positively should take advantage of, would you bug them until they told you, I am not interested, or would you just let them neglect to take advantage of the deal? Now, most of us, we would bug them by telling them how crazy they are if they don't jump on this, and you need to jump on this right now. We've all had things like that happen. I ran across something, a piece of software for a Macintosh that's normally about $100, and it was bundled up with a bunch of other programs. And at the time, you could get it. It was one of those make an offer kind of a deals. And at the time, you could get it for like $11. Man alive, I got in touch with everybody I knew that owned a Macintosh, whether I knew if I didn't know if they had the program or not, but I'm like, man, if you need this kind of software, you got to jump on this. I mean, it's $11. I I couldn't have overdone it. The value was just crazy high. I wanted my friends to take advantage of it. Now, most of us, I think we would bug our friends with such things by telling them how crazy they are if they don't jump on it. But again, make sure that the offer is compelling and then give prospects every possible consideration to accept it. Now think about how often you reach out and touch people, touch prospects. Pay attention. Remember, your first offer will likely hit some people at the wrong time. It'll just go right over their head. It may not mean that they're uninterested. It just may mean they're distracted. I could have been hit 30 days ago with a battery offer, a car battery offer. Yeah, it probably would have had no impact. About 2 weeks before the battery went dead, my wife drives a Honda Accord. It was part of that airbag recall. Takes it to the dealer, has to leave it overnight for them to do whatever they do with the airbags. They reported to her, your battery is getting dangerously low. I mean, it's on its last legs. And the battery's, I don't know, battery's a few years old. So that was her first warning. Has your car been hard to start? Well, no, not really. Well, it's going to give out on you. So that was like 2 weeks ago. Well, if you go back 30 days and make me a battery offer, it's not on my radar. If somebody would have sent me within that 2 week period some smoking deal on a car battery for her car, once I knew the battery was on its last legs, you've got my attention. Why? Because the timing's right for me. But you've got no way of knowing that. So we just have to think about the way life works. And that's how your life works. That's how everybody's life works. So we need to give ourselves the best chance to be memorable. We need to refuse to let people forget about us. By the way, if you're operating an organization in a space that doesn't involve selling something for money, sequential marketing, it's still highly, highly valuable to establish this ongoing, profitable communication with people that we serve. It's crucial so that we can be top of mind with people. Listen, I have seen people effectively do this just with their career. People who are really great connectors and people who reach out and kind of touch other people and provide value to other people just to kind of stay in their wheelhouse. So it can apply to your career, to you as a person. It can apply to your business if you're selling something. It can apply to your organization and the stuff that you are out there serving people with. I need to mention something else because this comes to mind when we talk about this being memorable kind of stuff. When I was still a teenager, I learned a very valuable lesson in selling hi-fi gear, and it was quite by accident, but it proved invaluable to me through the years, and I have taught this and continue to teach this. At the time, you go back to the 70s and 80s, mail order houses, they were the bane of the local retail hi-fi guy. They would go shop at the local store, they would listen to the gear that they might be thinking about buying, and then they would call some 800 number, usually in New York City, to get a deep discount on the exact same item. Now, we were used to these things, but we knew that if we did our job well, then we might be able to influence at least some of the shoppers, hopefully most of the shoppers, to buy from us based on a variety of things that we knew that we could do that New York mail order house just wouldn't or couldn't do. I mean, for starters, if there was a problem, the shopper knew that they could come and bring that item back to us. There was no shipping to New York City. But that wasn't the lesson that I learned. I learned something far, far simpler and more powerful. If I educated the shopper about a feature that meant quite a lot to them, I got the credit for that feature. Now, let's suppose that you didn't care one thing about the tuner section of a receiver. That is the radio part. You didn't listen to the radio. You didn't care about that part of a receiver, but it came with it. Well, now as a sales guy, I could drone on and on about that feature and all the cool stuff that it would. You didn't care. Didn't resonate with you. But if I found out that you were really into the preamp section of a unit because records, that was your thing, your turntable, that was your thing, then I might mention how a particular unit was known for having a superior preamp section. Well, you're going to perk up and pay attention because you care about that. And then by this point, I had already learned the power of asking questions and the power of listening in order to find out what mattered most to shoppers. Now I was learning that if I told you about a feature or a benefit that was crucial to you, one that you really cared about, guess what? You'd give me credit for it. I mean, it was as though I had personally engineered that feature or that benefit into the gear just for you. Now, here was the magical thing about it. You could go find that unit cheaper in the back of a stereo magazine, and you could buy it from somebody you'd never met in New York City. Or you could come see me, a guy who had sat with you in a sound room, listening with you to your favorite records, and buy from a person like me who had told you about a specific thing that really mattered to you. And that had given us a connection. And by getting credit for the most valuable feature or the benefit, you remembered me. And hopefully it resulted in you becoming my customer. So it's not always about being a purple cow. It's not always about doing something that's insanely out of the ordinary. Putting the people you serve at the forefront of your efforts is the key. Making it about them and not you. You will be remarkable and you will be unforgettable by focusing on helping others in the most selfless way possible. Why? Well, I can tell you exactly why. Because that's rare. It's unique. And it always will be. Reach out to serve. Yes, it's marketing, but it's because you've got something that others need and they want. So don't deny them the opportunity to experience what you can do for them. Get in touch, stay in touch, and don't stop until they opt out or tell you to quit. I don't know why that's such a hard lesson. I mean, those people who opt out or tell you to quit calling me, quit bugging me. They weren't going to let you serve them anyway. So why do you fret about it? Why do you fret about people opting out? Why do you fret about people who put their hand up metaphorically and say, stop, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to get another offer from you. I mean, what have you lost? I'll tell you what you've lost. Nothing. You haven't lost anything. Here's what you have gained. You have gained tighter focus on those who are most interested in what you have to offer, because guess what they're saying? Keep them coming. Keep talking to me. Keep telling me what you got to tell me. Keep serving me. Keep providing me some value. Keep making me offers. It's the art of being unforgettable. Think Nat King Cole. It's the value of sequential marketing, and marketing with a purpose, I might add, not just willy-nilly scatter shooting, getting a shotgun approach and just blasting the market with your buy my stuff. I'm a big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk's, jab, left hook or right hook or some hook. The jabs are the free stuff. The jabs are the value that you provide without anything at all. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is higherhumanperformance.com. I'm glad that you came.